This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Emotional connection is the connection of the hearts. For as long as the heart is connected, for as long as we are connected emotionally, the physical connection, the fun times are going to be organic, they're going to be easy. But if my heart is not connected to someone, how can I be around them? How can I give and take with them? So it's really important that there is a connection of the hearts. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke about the institute of marriage, He mentioned it in a very special surah. What is that surah? Anyone know? When He spoke about marriage in the Quran, and we see this on the invitation cards when it comes to marriage invitations, which surah was it? Naam? No, another surah? No, not another surah I'm after. Al-Nur is mentioned. SubhanAllah, it is mentioned in different chapters, but the surah that I'm after is Ar-Rum. Ar-Rum. In Surah Ar-Rum, Allah mentions many of His ayat. You know, the reoccurring theme in Surah Ar-Rum is وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, you know, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and then He goes in وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and from amongst the signs, the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that lead us, that show us the greatness of Allah, the rahmah of Allah, the care of Allah. These are the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal. And He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ, that He created for you. Who's you? Me and you, يعني, as human beings. مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, from your own type, your own species as human beings. أَزْوَاجًا, He created for you as zawj. Your zawj is your mate, your companion. And in this context, it's your husband or your wife. And what's the objective? He says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may find sakina. Now what's interesting in this verse, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may find sakina through her. So a lot of the sakina is going to come from the wife. But of course, for the wife to give that sakina, she herself needs to be in a healthy state. She needs to feel that she's being loved and she's being taken care of, that you're fulfilling your duty as a husband. Because it's going to become reciprocal. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and He placed between you both مَوَدَّةً. What's مَوَدَّةً? مَوَدَّةً is not love. مَوَدَّةً is affection. مَوَدَّةً is a demonstration of your love. You see, you can have حُب. You can have love in your heart. But that just sits there. I love this person. I love that. I love the Shaykh. I love this speaker. But you don't do much about it. You might do something occasionally, you might make dua for them. But now mawadda comes in. Mawadda is a demonstration of that love. How you show the love through your actions, through your words, through your sacrifices for that person. That's what's required, mawadda. Now sometimes we have stress. Sometimes we have hardships. So then Allah reminds us, it's not enough to build this marriage, to stabilize this marriage on only one rukun, one pillar. So He says, مَوَدَّ وَرَحْمَةً, that during the tough times, during the difficult moments, you need to be able to give each other some slack. You need to have some mercy towards each other. الرَّحْمَةً. So subhanAllah, the Qur'an, as you heard, there are many verses in the Qur'an about marriage and the contributors to a healthy marriage. But today, what we want to focus on is what are some of the problems so we can learn from them, and what are the solutions. Because the smart person is the one who learns from his own mistakes. But the wise person is the one who learns from the mistakes of others. Why should I be making the mistakes that other people have already made for me? I can learn from those mistakes. And I can ensure that I don't make the same mistakes. And I'll be honest with you, that during my counseling sessions on a daily basis, to be honest with you, I probably feel like I'm a broken record. Because it's more or less the same sort of problems. And subhanAllah, I will mention to you some of the most common problems that we come across. So yes, we need to ensure that yani, we try and prevent these problems. And I love this quote that I came across. And that is, the best intervention is prevention. The best intervention is prevention. That why do we need to go in and try and intervene and have people come in and try and save the day when we can prevent this from happening in the first place, insha'Allah ta'ala. So we're going to get right into it, insha'Allah. Are most people here married? Any bachelors? Hands up. Any of the bachelors? Okay, good, good, good. Okay, so you want to learn so you don't make those problems, you don't fall into those mistakes, insha'Allah. Well, to you, first of all, to those who are single and ready to mingle among you, insha'Allah, my first recommendation for you is up your dua. It's very hard in this day and age to get married, but nothing is hard for Allah. Keep consistent and persistent with your dua in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with a spouse, with a partner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. That one of the best things, if you're single and you want to get married, and if you have friends that want to get married and you want to give them a nasiha, that they're finding it difficult to get married, tell them one of the best things that you can do is to be afif. Afif means to be modest, to be fearing Allah and not committing haram. Because Allah says, He says in this ayah, وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا. Let those who are not able to get married, let them practice iffah, refraining from the haram, from zina, from committing fornication. حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Until Allah blesses them from His fadl, from His bounty. So there is dua, there is keeping away from the haram, insha'Allah ta'ala. There is, of course, making istikhara. Remember we spoke about prevention, insha'Allah, before intervention. So if you want to make sure that you get married to the right person, you don't have all of these mistakes, you need to make sure that you or your child, if you're the wali, that you're doing the due diligence, right? To ensure that you're making the right choice. So this is something very important for our young ones. And in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said there are three types of people that Allah will support. And he mentioned one of them is the one who seeks marriage for the sake of iffah, for the sake of chastity. So the one who's pursuing marriage for the sake of iffah and chastity, Allah's going to support that person. Because that person doesn't want to fall into the haram. So anyway, we'll go now into some of the most common problems when it comes to marriage, or what's leading to problems in the marriage. Number one, no deen, or very little deen. Not prioritizing Allah. At the end of the day, who controls the hearts? Who? Allah Azza wa Jal. Who's going to bless your marriage? Allah. Who's going to get you out of your problems? Allah. So if you're not living an Allah-centric life or lifestyle, how do you expect barakah in your life? How do you expect to have a nice life? Many, many times we ask individuals, tell me about your relationship with Allah. And most of those people who have problems in their marriage, that's not to say religious people or practicing people don't experience problems in their marriage. But for the most part, most of the times, that it could be because of sins, or it could be because of your lack of connection to Allah Azza wa Jal. I remember a story whereby a shaykh came to a household to solve a problem between a husband and the wife. And the shaykh came in and he sat down, and he looked around this house, and he can see that it's a very new house. It's newly built. Allahumma barik, it looks amazing. It looks awesome. And the shaykh said, what's the story behind this house? How did you purchase it? Is it through riba? Is it through riba? Is it through interest and usury? They said, yes. The shaykh stood up and he said, assalamu alaikum. You got the story, right? How do you want barakah in your marriage when you've gone to war with Allah Azza wa Jal? When you're dealing with riba, when you're dealing with interest, you're going to war with Allah. There's only two texts, there's only two contexts in the Quran and Sunnah that we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to war with certain individuals, and one of them is the one who deals with riba. Wal-iyadhu billah. And wallahi, I have seen many cases of couples who have marital problems, and then you dig a little bit more and you find out that they have a riba loan, and then they're reminded, they're given nasiha, they're given advice, and then they move away from the riba. And when they do, you see them best friends, best buddies, lovers. And at one point they were going hard and they were fighting and they were in animosity and so much tension. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You think it's trivial, you think it's nothing. Hey, it's only riba, it's just a bank loan. But to Allah, it's something great. What about the person who doesn't pray? What about the person who is gambling? What about the person who's taking drugs? What about the drug dealer? What about the person who is oppressing others? Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّا. He says, those who believe and they do righteous deeds, good deeds, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, will instill wood. We said his affection. He's going to instill affection in the hearts of the people around you when you have belief and you do good deeds. You know, sometimes you go to a funeral, sometimes you see certain people, they have a massive following and people love them. That's from Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when Allah loves you, the angels love you, Jibreel loves you, the people on the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yada al-mahabba, He places this mahabba in the hearts of the people towards you. So the first problem that we have is not having an Allah-centric lifestyle and committing the haram. And believe me, just focusing on this point and prioritizing Allah and making sure you fear Allah, you please Allah. You're not there to please the people. Don't be a people pleaser. Just that point in itself, I would say 80 to 90% will solve most marital problems. Because now you're going to behave within the window and the framework of the Quran and Sunnah that says, have mawadda, have rahmah, have sabr, have akhlaq. There's rights, there's obligations. You see where we're going with this? So that's why as soon as you make Allah your priority, you're going to find yourself organically doing the right thing, insha'Allah ta'ala. From amongst the causes and the solutions to not having marital problems is to make dua for your marriage regularly. And Allah in the Quran, He praises those who make dua for their marriage. He says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. Those who say, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا, our Lord هَبْ لَنَا, bestow upon us, مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا, from our zawj, your zawj is your mate, وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا, your offspring, your progeny, قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ, Ya Allah, make my spouse the delight of my eyes. So when I see my spouse, I don't say A'udhu Billah. I say Alhamdulillah. I'm always grateful when I see my spouse. Reminds me of that story whereby one wife, she says to her husband, do you see me in your dreams? He says to her, Habibi, I don't see you in my dreams. Why not? He says, maybe because I recite Ayatul Kursi. Don't say that. Huh? I'm just telling you the story. You know, the Ayat al-Kursi protects you from the shaitan. So keep your marriage in your dua. And especially the adhkar al-sabah wal-masa. Adhkar al-sabah wal-masa. The morning and evening supplications. How long did that take? Somebody tell me, roughly. 20 minutes. And if you've perfected them, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 12 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. Because you just say them. But say them with a present heart, with a present mind. Believe in what you're saying. Because one of them is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiya fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiya fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli. Who's your ahl? Your ahl is your family, your wife. You're asking Allah every day, after Fajr and after Maghrib, after Fajr and after Asr, right through, to protect you and to protect your family members. If you're not doing that, then you're out, you've walked, you've left your house, you've got no protective layer. You've got no shield. Shaitan's going to have a field day. So we need to make sure, inshaAllah ta'ala, that we do tahseen, that we do fortification. You know the book Fortress of the Muslim? Why is it called fortress? Because it protects you. It's a castle. It's going to protect you from every single angle. Don't undermine the adhkar. Don't undermine dua. Make dua Fridays. Yani, make a pact right now. Group up with your wife, with your husband, and say, hey, can we from now on make sure we prioritize our marriage every Friday between Asr and Maghrib? We mention our marriage. Because we said most of your happiness after marriage is going to come from your marriage. A lot of it, a lot of your focus. You know, I see grown men crying. I see men or young men who are distraught, who are down, who lose a lot of money. They can't work, they can't focus. And they say, I've lost all of this money. One brother I was talking to recently, it's so toxic in his marriage. He's renting for, I think it was $750, another house that he has to rent because he can't live in the same house with his wife. It's too toxic. And he's making visits to visit his children. And he's losing a lot of time on work. And then this other brother that I speak to says to me, look, I'm willing to make so many sacrifices to be with my children because my wife, she's not up to it. And I'm happy to take a cut on work. Can you see where we're going with this? And that's why we need to make sure that things are going well at home. That extra money that you make, you can use it. You can build a masjid. You can build a water well here. You can feed some orphans there and benefit your akhirah. You don't have to lose out on that money. But that's what's going to happen when you're not happily married because you didn't want to do the due diligence. You wanted to take a shortcut. You thought you can just work it out. It doesn't work that way, Habibi. So yes, make dua for your marriage. And adhkar as-sabah wal-masa' we said is very important. Another very important point, another problem that we have when it comes to relationships is the lack of emotional intelligence. What does that mean? That means you don't have a filter to control your anger. You've never learned what the filter is, or you don't apply the filter. And so subhanAllah, whenever you get angry, it becomes yani very, very tragic. Wallahi, today I was speaking to a couple and, you know, the wife started talking and she said to me, she was talking to me about how toxic the marriage is, how he doesn't give her attention and so on and so forth. Then when it came to his turn to talk, you know, she takes out a knife on me when she's mad. So why do you think I leave the house? I'm scared for my life. There's no emotional intelligence there. If you have to resort to swearing, if you have to resort to weapons, then you need to learn how to be a more emotionally intelligent human being. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. One of the top three reasons for marital problems is the lack of anger management. That leads to disrespect. And that disrespect, do you think it's going to maintain that emotional connection with the person? You think you're going to be connected with your spouse when you have disrespect and swearing and yelling and what have you? No way. And then the brother complains, oh, look, you know, there's no intimacy in the marriage. How do you expect intimacy? How do you expect a physical connection when the hearts are not connected, when you've probably disrespected her or not taken her needs yani seriously? So it's all connected. So yes, there needs to be learning how to control your anger. And subhanAllah, the brother I was speaking to today, he said to me, I'm actually taking anger management classes. Or actually, it was her. Sorry. I'm actually taking anger management classes. Don't be shy. You know, I know myself growing up, I wasn't, you know, the sharpest pencil in the box. None of us grow up with all the tools and all the knowledge. We have weaknesses. We probably learned these behaviors from some of our parents, who they themselves had anger management issues. And so, who do you think our best teachers and our greatest teachers are? They're our parents. And then we wonder, like, subhanAllah, so many stories that come to my mind, but I'm going to stay within the time frame. But, Yani, if you have an issue with anger, don't put up your hand in here. But just, you know, we don't want to embarrass you. Put up your hand and say, look, I need help. And then what you do, you go and obsess. That's the word I want you to use. Any weakness that you have, be it the weakness of looking up the opposite gender, ghaddul basar, whether it's drugs, whether it's your anger management, go away and obsess over the process to become a better human being. Go away, go and obsess. You obsess, you want to buy a car. You go and obsess and you look up every video and every TikTok and every YouTube and every review and every Google review just to buy something. Maybe it's even less than a car. Maybe it's just like a microphone or a phone case. That's the truth. That's what we do. We obsess over reviews and you know, what about obsessing over your weakness? What about obsessing over what really counts in life? So subhanAllah, one of the best strategies as a solution to this problem, we learn it from the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he visits his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Now who's Fatima married to? Ali radiallahu anhu. Who's Ali in relation to Fatima? Her cousin. So he says, where's your cousin? Meaning, where is Ali? And she says, wallah, we had a fight. And he left the house. Ooh. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he do? Didn't say anything. What? You had a fight? How dare you? No, he didn't do that. He went actually to search for him. Which teaches us a lesson that when you hear that two people have a problem, make an effort to go and reconcile. And you know what? You don't have to be a counselor. You don't have to be a psychologist. You don't have to be a sheikh. All you have to do is say, Assalamu alaikum, I'm here for you if you need anything. Do you know how much that means to that person? Be that person. Just sometimes, someone just wants to talk to someone. So subhanAllah, he goes looking for him, and where does he find him? Do you know where he finds Ali? He finds him in the masjid. And you know, back then in the masjid, the floor was made out of just dirt. Didn't have carpet, mashallah, beautiful carpet, beautiful smelling carpet. It was the dirt, the turab. And so Ali is sitting, he's sleeping on the masjid floor, and his rida, his upper garment is uncovered, and his back and shoulder is on the dirt, and all this dust is on him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes up to him. He says, Qum ya Aba Turab, Qum. Get up, O father of the dust, get up. And he gives him a nickname. He became known as Abu Turab. And that's what we know about the story, more or less. What do we learn from this? We learn the hikmah of Ali. Ali walked out. That instead of staying there and fighting and putting on the gloves, the punching, the boxing gloves, right? You have a strategy. You have an exit strategy. But you have to be careful with this strategy. And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of the times what husbands do, you see, there's a gender difference. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى And the male is not like the female. So what happens is that the male, generally as males don't want to talk about a problem in the now, in the moment. What do they want to do? They want to sort of take off into their cave, into their imaginary bubble. They need some time out to just think it through. Women, generally speaking, They want to talk about it right now. You got to talk to me now. Right? And then what does she do? No, no, I can't talk about it now. Leave me alone, the husband says. And he starts to go out the door. No, you come here. And she slams the door. And you're not going nowhere. That's very dangerous, sister. So we're going to say to the sisters, don't do this. And we're going to say to the brothers, you still need to go if you're going to say something or do something that's hurtful. But you give your wife reassuring words and certainty that you're coming back. That, hey, discussion is not over. We will have a respectful conversation. But right now, I am emotionally flooded. And I don't want to say anything to hurt you. And I don't want to do anything wrong. Because An-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La taghdab. You know, the man who, yani, who was in this story of La taghdab, don't get angry. He said in the hadith that is mentioned in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, he said, I contemplated the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La taghdab. And he said, I saw based on this word that ghadab, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give this advice of all the advice when the man is asking him, Awsini ya Rasulullah, give me advice, O Messenger of Allah, for him to say, of all the advice to say, La taghdab, it must be that ghadab, that evil is the root of all evil, that it encompasses all evil. And now you see why getting angry is rated in the top three reasons of lack of anger management, being one of the leading causes of marital problems. So when you get angry, you need to have a filter. You need to know what to do in the moment, but you can't just, you need to rehearse and practice before that moment. You need to see yourself, visualize yourself. How are you going to handle that moment? What are the rules between you and your wife that you have discussed to ensure that when you do have a fallout or a disagreement, how do you want to react? Tell her, hey, look, I am the type, I can't have that conversation, I need out. So when I want out, I give you the reassuring words that when I come back, I will talk to you inshallah ta'ala when things are a lot calmer. But I need a favor from you. I don't want you to text me 20,000 text messages and to call me. And I don't want to have 30,000 missed calls from you. But we will talk about it. We've got rules in place. You know, subhanAllah, there are two sides of of the brain. You know this, the right and the left hemisphere. The right side of the brain is the emotional side of the brain. That's where fight or flight kicks in. When there's a when we're in a situation whereby we get triggered, we get angry, we get scared, what happens is the right side of the brain sets off first. And then adrenaline is pumped out into the blood. Because now you've got to do something. You've got to, you know, when you're like you're tired and all of a sudden, boof, and it's like, whoa, what happened? I'm ready now. I'm ready to run or to fight or to freeze. Some of us just freeze. It takes 90 seconds for the brain now to switch from the right side to the left side, which is the rational brain. And the rational brain now talks you through it. Don't do this, do this. So you know when somebody says count to 100, that's what they're referring to. They're saying stop, just take it easy for about 90 seconds, count to 100 until your rational brain kicks in, and then you can start to make decisions. And if you are talking from a place of where the emotional brain and that cortisol is going through your body, you're going to be saying all sorts of nonsense and things like that. And that's why, subhanAllah, in Islam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, لا طلاق في إغلاق. When there is no binding divorce, when it's done in a state of rage, high level anger, doesn't count. Why? Because you're not in your right mind. You're not thinking from the left hemisphere of your brain. You're going from the right hemisphere. So back to Ali radiallahu anhu wa arda. He was very intelligent, he left. But what we saw, you see, what happens is this. And I see this all the time with a lot of the husbands. when they are down, when they are anxious, when they're really down in their relationship, they want to go somewhere. That's called your emotional home, where you want to find that peace and that serenity. Some of us might go to the gym. Some of us, they go to for a walk. Some go, wal'iyadhu billah, they take drugs. Some go to the gambling machines. This is the truth. Some go to other women. Right? But subhanAllah, what Ali teaches us is the best place to go to is this house of Allah. Why? Because Allah is going to get you out of this. How tranquil is it when you're in the house of Allah? And when you're in the house of Allah, many gifts come your way. What gift came to Ali radiallahu anhu warda when he was in the masjid? None other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah sent him a gift. Yani, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam know he was there? Look, Allah sent, he sent him there. So Allah's going to send you epiphanies. Allah's going to send you the solution if you are sincere. When it comes to yani, this notion of anger, yani, subhanAllah, we can go on and on and on. But you need to have a strategy. You really need to have a strategy for when you're going to get angry. What is your strategy? What are you going to do? Very, very important, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay, we move on to another issue, and that is family interference. Of the three top reasons for marriage dysfunction and divorce is the in-laws. Families interfering with their children's lives. Very, very common. You'll probably not find one speaker in the world, yani from the leading speakers, lest they always talk about dealing with the in-laws and how to navigate those challenges. So if you are the in-law, I encourage you to just yani, back off. Yes, there might be a time and place you need to come in, but for the most part, let them work it out. Let a third party work it out. And what I've realized, especially when parents get involved, some parents are so unreasonable, and they take control of the situation, and they play emotional blackmail with their children and say, no, you're not going back to him. And subhanAllah, they make it very difficult for the relationship to reconcile. So it's actually very dangerous to take it to your parents. Take it to a professional. Take it to a leading, to a sheikh who understands relationships. Take it to a psychologist, a Muslim psychologist who understands human behavior that is known to help people, before you take it to your parents. So yes, one of the common problems is the in-laws. And one of the specific problems with in-laws is when a woman or the wife is mostly, not generally speaking, not all cases, but generally speaking, is for the wife to be living with her mother-in-law. Because you can't have two chefs in the kitchen. They say in the land down under, two chefs in the kitchen spoil the broth. I don't know if it's a universal saying or not. Right? So yes, there needs to be, the best thing that you can do for your wife is have her in a separate quarter, have her in a separate, yani, subhanAllah, dwelling. Even what I've seen from my personal experience in dealing with couples, that even a granny flat or an upstairs, downstairs scenario doesn't even cut it. We've seen problems. Oh, why did you go upstairs? Why didn't you come and say salam to me? Why didn't you offer me some food? Why didn't you come and check up on me? Why? And so on and so forth. So yes, there has to be boundaries in this area. When it comes to in-laws, there's got to be boundaries. There's got to be some rules. There's got to be some good communication. And above all, there's got to be justice. There's got to be adil. There's got to be justice when it comes to your own, even if it's against your own parents. Allah says in the Quran, "Kunu qawwamin bil qisti, shuhada'a lillahi walau ala anfusikum aw al walidain." Be fair and just, be it against yourself or your own parents. Be just. Just because it's your mom, just because it's your dad, it doesn't mean they're right all the time. They're human beings. They're in, يعني, subhanAllah, they make mistakes. They're not infallible, they're fallible. They make mistakes. So this is another one. طيب, another one is from amongst the problems that we have is infidelity, cheating. And that is that's also unfortunately very common. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men to lower their gaze. And He also says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And say to the female slaves of Allah to lower their gaze. So this is one of the biggest problems, not lowering your gaze. And when we're talking about not lowering your gaze, we're talking about also watching inappropriate content. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you have a problem with watching inappropriate content, then raise your hand. But not now. Raise your hand and get help. And if you need that help, you reach out to me. You reach out to people like Sheikh Wa'il Ibrahim. Sheikh Wa'il Ibrahim has done amazing work. He's dedicated over 20 years to the area of pornography and how to rid yourself of it. And he's got a whole program for it, a detox program. Get help. This is very, very problematic. So there must be rules that you impose on yourself. You impose the rules on yourself when it comes to dealing with the opposite gender. Rules when it comes to social media and who you follow or who your spouse is following on social media. Very, very important. This is another problem that we have with many relationships, infidelity, cheating. Infidelity isn't just zina, but you know, texting and doing all of this nonsense, not being loyal. And subhanAllah, this is a very trust, you know, trust is one of the biggest deal breakers in relationship. And wallahi, I had a case today and she said to me, I don't trust him. And I said, inshallah, we're going to work on him until not only is he going to get it right, but there's no way he's going to get it wrong, inshallah. We have to try and save the marriage, and there's children involved, and he's regretful, and he's said tawbah, and he wants to not do it again. But you have to earn that trust. You got to work on that trust. So whatever you do, yani, make sure that your spouse trusts you. You can't be with someone you don't trust. Tayyib, another one is friends. Tell me who your friends are and I will tell you who you are. Or as-sahibu sahib. Your friend can pull you here, can pull you there. Or friends are like lifts. They can take you up or bring you down. Better than all of this are the words of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. That a person is on the way or the path of his khalil, his close friend. Be careful who your close friends are. Many a times we learn that the problem that the husband has is because of his circle of friends. And where they're going and what they're talking about and what they're discussing. If your friends start to play up and they're not on the deen, then detach, move back, move away. Some friends are seasonal, khalas, they've done their time, they've expired now, move on. You can stay respectful. If you see them, you advise them, but you don't want to be a part of that. Friends are very, very important. Be it your wife's friends, your husband's friends. It's very important to be mindful of this, because they could be, you know, giving wrong signals and wrong messages. The next one's a very big one. The next big problem that we have is trauma. Trauma. There's a beautiful saying that I absolutely love. And that is, if you don't heal what hurt you, you will bleed all over those who never cut you. Because what I've seen from my experience and learned is that where does the remnants of the trauma and the behaviors from the trauma, do you know where they show up most in life? They show up in the marriage. And subhanAllah, you see, when you start asking questions and you learn why the person, the husband or the wife is behaving in the way that they're behaving is because of their relationship with their parent. They were either abused by their parent, they were neglected by their parent, and so on and so forth. And so what happens, there's fears, there's insecurities that come into the marriage. Like I had a case today, and the brother, the wife said to me, he always lies to me. That's what she said, that's her words. He lies to me. He lies about everything. And I go, subhanAllah, could it be true that a husband is lying to his wife about everything? I had to ask him. I said, brother, is she right? Is she telling the truth? He said, yes. I said, why? Why do you lie for? He goes, I don't trust people. Okay. Why don't you trust people? He goes, because when I was at home with my father, I would come to my father. My father wanted me to tell him everything. And then when I would tell him things, he would go tell everybody and embarrass me. And from that, I developed this trauma and I can't trust people. And so look what's happening now. Because he never healed from that, he never learned how to deal with this traumatic experience, he's now doing the same thing to his own wife. And we have many different cases. It could be separation anxiety, whereby, for example, I recall one sister, her father left her. And the people in her life, they left her. You know, those divorce cases, ugly divorce cases. The father goes to another state or another country. So she feels like nobody loves me. But that's not true. And then subhanAllah, we have this separation anxiety. So now whenever her husband goes on a little sort of maybe work, yani experience far away in another city, she starts going crazy. Where are you going? Where are you leaving me? And he can't understand, what's the problem? I'm just going for work. But now we make him understand how to work with her and make her understand how what she can do. So if you have trauma, whatever it is, if you have weaknesses and insecurities, like I said before, start obsessing over the work that needs to be done so you can be a better version of yourself as a Muslim, as a worshipper, as a husband, as a father, as a mother, whatever it is. Because if you don't perfect that, what's going to happen next? It's called generational trauma. What's generational trauma or ancestral trauma? Where your children now will pick it up and your children's children will pick it up and it's just going to be a cycle. That's why you got to do the work. You got to do the work. Most people are traumatized in one way or another. Could have been a narcissistic parent, an abusive parent, like we said. Could have been many things. And wallahi, you'll find that Islam has the solution. So the brother today, for example, I asked him a question. He was the liar. And I said to him, he said to me, I've got also many issues, other issues. And he said, okay, what's your issue? He said, I reverted to Islam. And because I did that, my parents don't really want anything to do with my wife and they don't want anything to do with my child. I have a child and my parents, they don't want to see my child. And wallahi, he had tears in his eyes. And that's his dream. That's his passion and his dream and everything. He wants that connection between his child and the child's grandmother. It's natural, right? I said to him, you know what, brother? I go, you got to put your trust in Allah and you need to know that this is your test. Everybody has a test. And I want you to walk out of this room today and leave it with Allah. Say, Ya Allah, you know what I want. And Ya Allah, if you want it to happen, make it happen. And if it's not going to happen, Ya Allah, then you got a better plan for me. I'll leave it with you. Give it to Allah Azza wa Jal. Stop stressing about it. Stop traumatizing yourself about it. And the list goes on and on and on of examples of trauma. So this is another very common problem that we have in the marriage. طيب, we'll move on. The other thing is, a common problem is the lack of time management. Not dedicating and having a balanced time. And in short, we share with you the hadith of Salman and Abu Darda, whereby Salman says to Abu Darda, radiyallahu anhuma, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ وَإِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ وَإِنَّفْسِكَ وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ فَأَعْطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ. Allah has rights, yourself has rights, your family have rights, give each their due right. Have a balanced lifestyle. And especially if your wife is at home all day with kids, and she has to manage the home and manage the kids, it's very, very stressful. She didn't get married just to do that only. She wants some time to breathe, some time to have time with you. It doesn't have to be expensive. Yani, just dedicate some time to her. Sit with her without your phone, without any distractions. Wallahi, yani, you're going to feel better. You're going to feel that emotional connection and physical connection. So time is very, very important. Another very common complaint is the lack of intimacy. And as I said earlier, for an intimate connection in marriage, there must be an emotional connection. For an emotional connection, you need to ensure that, you know, your partner, your husband, your wife is not in an anxious state, not always walking on eggshells, not really always angry with you. How could things happen on an intimate level? The next one is a very important one in this day and age, the lack of masculinity and the lack of femininity. Yani, males are not being males, and females are not being males, and females are being males, and males are being females. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, there's a study that says, there was a study, and they were testing yani, levels of testosterone and estrogen. You know, males are dominant in which one? Testosterone, alhamdulillah. We got men in here. And women are dominant in estrogen. But we have both, but there's a dominance. Did you know that, subhanAllah, the study showed that when a woman is doing man things, yani she's doing the things that normally men do, her testosterone levels increase. And when men do women things, right, female things that are pretty much generally known as the females generally do this, right, and they're just involved heavily in that, their estrogen levels yani increase and their testosterone levels decrease. You as a husband are the imam of the house. Just like the masjid has an imam, you are the imam. And even if the sheikh of this masjid goes to your house, guess who's going to lead the prayer? Not the sheikh, with all due respect to him. You're Rabbul Manzil. You are the man of the house. You need to be the imam. You need to be responsible. You need to be approachable. You need to be the one who provides finance. And then we have all of this talk in this day and age, are we going in as partners? You know, she works and he works and they're both tired and they're both exhausted and they're wondering why they have problems. I mean, each one of these points we can elaborate on. But inshallah, we want to sort of wrap it up. Inshallah ta'ala. From another one of the yani, the contributors is lots of stress. Taking on too much. But I think this one is linked to the balance, having the balance. And especially, I want to share this hadith with the sisters. You know, Fatima radiallahu anha wa ardaha, she complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she wanted a servant, she wanted a maid. And he said, I'll teach you something, because, you know, she was doing a lot of the maintenance and the house chores, and the grinding was affecting her hands. And he said to her, I'll give you something better than that. You don't need a servant. Before you go to sleep, say subhanallah 33 times. Say alhamdulillah 33 times. Say Allahu Akbar 34 times. And that is better than having a servant or a slave. And she said that, and she said she never complained again. The power of words, the power of dhikrullah, the power of istighfar, the power of dua, the power of adhkaru sabahi wal masa. Wallahi, we are so fortunate that we have this arsenal, we have these weapons, we have this, subhanallah, medicine. Take advantage of it, my brothers and my sisters in Islam. from amongst the problems that we have is having too high expectations. Lower your expectations. Lower your expectations so you don't get disappointed. It's good to have expectations, but maybe they're too high. Maybe you're unreasonable. Maybe it's not doable. Maybe your spouse, it's their weakness. Lower your expectations and communicate with your spouse. And so I want to conclude, inshallah ta'ala, with the last one. And that is the main one of the main problems for marital issues in this day and age is ignorance. Not having knowledge. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. That ilm is gained by seeking knowledge. When you're about to get married, learn. If you're married and your marriage is not going well, learn. There's no aib in learning. You're only going to be a better version of yourself. Learn, unlearn, relearn. There needs to be knowledge. We are the ummah of iqra. We are the people of iqra. Read. It's not just going to happen. You need to learn. This doesn't just happen. And especially if you've learned from bad, from toxic parents, or you've learned from yani whatever other experiences. So this is something that we need to remember. You know, subhanAllah, in certain countries like Malaysia, you can't get married without doing some sort of marriage course. And when they looked at the people who engaged in these marriage courses, they found that, subhanAllah, I think it was a percentage of 85% of these cases, okay, found that they had a healthier relationship. Right? Or because they learned human behavior. They learned, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, that the male is not like the female. They learned, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ, that like you like garments to each other. They learned that, subhanAllah, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That when you do good deeds, male or female, Allah is going to bless you with a good life. Knowledge. One of the best gifts that you can give yourself before marriage is to learn about marriage. One of the best gifts that you can give to your child who's about to get married is to encourage them to learn. To learn about what to do, what, how to behave. Especially in a day and age we're so confused. There's so many mixed messages. Especially in a day and age we live in a Western country whereby there's a mixing of cultures. Wallahi, I had a brother today that came to me. And he came to me for one thing only. He's about to get engaged. He comes from a certain culture. She comes from another culture. And he goes, what can you tell me about two cultures coming together? What's the engagement period? What I can do? What can I do? What's nikah? What are the rules? What's the mahar? What do we do? I thought, I congratulated him. I go, you are, mashallah, investing in your marriage. You're investing in yourself. Well done. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with healthy marriages. Insha'Allah ta'ala, I have left some cards at the tables when you're exiting about my online marriage course, insha'Allah ta'ala, which is a comprehensive course. And it is all about incorporating and integrating Islamic knowledge and modern day research into relationships. It's a one-stop shop, insha'Allah ta'ala. You can watch it, you can share it with your family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it of benefit to all. I don't know how much time we have, if we want to have some questions or not. 10 minutes. Okay. Tayyib, insha'Allah. Do we have some questions? Insha'Allah, any questions? Yes? Wa'iyakum, how to find a wife? This is a very valid question, because in this day and age, I don't know if Sheikh Jalal, you're experiencing as well. Do we have a lot of complaints as well? Do we?
It is a challenge.
More problematic than before, right?
Especially people who are not sort of out of the, you could say, like sort of, that have their strong family support or social structure.
They've come here as students, or their most of their family is overseas. So look. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. يعني work together to help your brothers and sisters who are single. But there's many avenues. Okay, one of those avenues is going to be الدُّعَاء. One of those avenues is going to be word of mouth. One of those avenues is volunteer your time in Islamic organizations and make yourself known. And you know, one of those avenues could be matchmakers, right? There are actually people who are matchmakers. You know, approach your parents, approach your families. It's not an easy one to navigate, but don't limit your options. Okay? Inshallah ta'ala, keep your options open. I hope that answers your question. Yes. Sheikh is bringing to our attention the matrimony websites. They're not all equal. Some matrimony websites have better filters, better protocols and what have you than others. There's probably more harm in most of them than there is good. There's more harm than there is good, and they're best to be avoided, but that's not all of them. So you really need to be maybe asking, looking at reviews. It is an option, but then again, there could be a lot of harm. There's a lot of evil people out there that are on them with an agenda. And I've heard some stories personally. People have approached me. So it's best to avoid them. However, some are better than others, inshallah. I am working on an event I want to bring to Sydney, inshallah ta'ala. We'll keep you updated, but I found that this space really needs a lot of work, and I really do feel for our single brothers and sisters, and so we need to start to think outside of the box, inshallah, a little bit. We can't keep on doing things old school and traditionally. It's not working for the greater, for a lot of people. There's a lot of bachelors out there. But always come forward. And by the way, sheikhs don't have a list. Do you have a list, sheikh? And they always ask you, right? sheikhs don't always have a list of singles. It's not as simple as you think. Just take this one. It doesn't work like that. Maybe once upon a time we were a small village, not with the global village at the moment. Are there any other questions before we go on? Yes, brother. If the parents are saying the career comes first, I think we have to double check, but maybe is that also the take of the girl, or that's just the assumption of the parents? And I want to have a career. Well, I guess you need to look at what is that career. Is it a career that we do need some teachers, we do need female doctors and things like that. So it all depends, I guess, maybe a little bit more assessment of the situation and not just walking away, but maybe asking a few more questions to the girl and seeing that, okay, well, what happens when we have children? What about my expectations of you being at home for maybe X amount of hours throughout the week or day? That's what I want. I think sometimes we have to be careful with just general answers, but really being assessing the situation. But generally speaking, the place for the woman is her home. Generally speaking, there's going to be some exceptions to the rule. And of course, once children come, it's full on. It needs, then the woman must be at home, really taking care of those children. Any other questions? Yes, brother. What should you look for in a wife? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Tunkahul mar'atu li arba," that a woman is married for one of four things. And he mentioned her beauty, and he mentioned her status, her lineage. He mentioned her akhlaq, okay, and he mentioned her deen, right? And he said, go for the one with the deen. So the most important thing you should always look for in a woman, after you know that you're attracted to her. Now, I want to say attraction probably first, and then talk about the deen. Because unfortunately, there have been many cases where brothers have married a girl because of her deen, but was never attracted to her. And he ends up oppressing himself or oppressing her in one way or another, and he leaves her because he was never attracted to her, but he married her on the basis of deen. So, if you're attracted to her, I'm not talking about somebody that's overly beautiful and but you're attracted to her. You can see yourself being intimate with her, right? There's attraction, there's chemistry, right? If that's there, then we look at the deen. If the deen is there, we look at her mannerisms. We look at how she engages with her parents. How does she talk to her mum? How does she talk to her siblings? That's going to be an indication of a lot of her, yani her akhlaq and her manners. Right? We ask questions. What do you think of the feminist movement? Or what do you think about women working? Or what do you think about a woman working full time? Or what do you think about having children? You need to ask. You need to know what you want. So that's part of the package in asking the questions, inshallah. Does that answer your question? Wa iyyakum, inshallah. Are you married yet? May Allah bless you with a hur al-tin, yani one of the hurs of the dunya, inshallah, that is steadfast and righteous. Inshallah. Any other questions before the adhan, I think, or one more? Yes, brother. Some advice for the Muslim youth is to stay on the deen, stay with good friends, stay yani learning as much as you can. SubhanAllah, work on yourself. Work on becoming, inshallah, financially independent. Having a good, yani good income is very attractive. Work on your health. Work on having good habits from a young age, because then those habits carry with you, whether it's training, whether it's worship, whether it's investing in different courses to become a good version of yourself. I would recommend do an Islamic Sharia course. You don't have to go to Medina. You don't have to go to Egypt. If you can do that, excellent, amazing. If you can't, do it online. You know, Bilal Phillips has a university. You can do Medina University. I think Malaysia. Invest in yourself. Be the best version of yourself. Don't settle for mediocrity, right? Settle to be the best version of yourself and put yourself around the best of the best. Whether it's entrepreneurs, whether it's the sheikh, whether it's good friends, you put yourself around the best of the best so you can be the best version of yourself in the future, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.